message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
You know, I just feel like praying. Glory to God. I don't know if you have been enjoying the prayer regimen. Glory to God. Amen. Did you notice that something that is very common amongst all the testimony is prayer? Amen. Morning prayer. Praise God. All right. In this church, we are committed to see everybody become firewall. Glory to God. Back to back. Prayer whiz. Amen. I'd rather train 10 people to pray than train one person to preach. A preacher has certainly said. And there's a reason for it. Because if you can pray, a Christian that can pray and pray well and pray through, all right, the time he spends in prayer will translate into physical outcome with stressless effort. Praise God forevermore. All right. So we go into the world. Say this after me. I have understanding. My mind is illuminated. Hallelujah. See, what I'm about to teach you today and next Sunday is a four-part teaching. And it's one of those teachings that you need to pay close attention to. Of course, every teaching needs close attention. So make sure you get all the four-part teachings because they're going to bless you tremendously. And I want to encourage you to get all the tape. I titled it, Eat Check. Let me be honest with you. For days now, one of the major challenges I had preparing this message is how to title it. I was thinking, should I call it fitness assessment? Should I call it Eat Check? Should I call it vital signs? But guess what? I realized that all of these topics that were popping up in my mind, which of course my intention was to use as many, you know, topics as possible to drive the point home, I realized I could actually just name each of the message, all right, a subtitle. So you can actually call this morning service and of course second service as well, you can call it vital signs. But the title is Eat Check. Now, Eat Check is what you do to know how hot you are. Now, you see, there is something in medicine. They call it vital signs. You can actually check your Google, vital signs. Vital signs, let me give it to you. I love the way, very simply, the way John Hopkins Hospital defines it, very simply. All right? This says, these are measurements of the body's most basic function. Measurement of body's most basic function. So Wikipedia says, vital signs, also known as vitals, are a group of the 4 to 6 most important medical signs that indicate the status of the body's vital function. So these measurements are taken to help you assess the general physical health of a person, give clues to possible diseases, and show progress toward recovery. So there are 4 primary vital signs: body temperature, blood pressure, pulse rate, that's the heartbeat, and then the breathing rate, they call it respiratory rate. These are the 4 major vital signs. So if you go to the hospital, the first thing, I'm talking of a normal hospital, you understand? The first thing they do is they check your vitals. They first put that thing in your ear. They want to know your temperature. All right. The next thing is they want to check your pulse rate. That means your heartbeat. The next thing is they want to check your respiratory rate. Do you know why? Because in the field of medicine, they have realized that it is possible for you to look healthy, yet very unwell inside. That's why sometimes when you see people, when they come out of maybe, God forbid, a terrible accident and they come out without any wound, the first thing they tell them is go to the hospital for checkup. Because some people have internal injury unbeknown to them. A lot of people, when they get to the hospital, the doctor literally shout at them. Not shouting at them out of disdain, but out of concern. That, are you all right? You want to kill? Do you want to commit suicide? You've been seeing all these signs all these days. You never came. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. They're like, can't you see? But to the guy, he feels, see what? I'm good. I go to work. I'm healthy. So sometimes it can be very dicey. It may not necessarily be conspicuous from the beginning. Now, when it comes to spirituality, it is possible for you to be moving around healthy looking, you know, you think nothing do you, but there is something fundamentally wrong that you never know. But when you come in contact with a very spiritual person, can I be honest with you? If I see somebody who has a terrible spiritual life, when I get close to them, I know. There's something in medicine they call spot diagnosis. When a doctor just looks at you, he can tell what is wrong with you. But you see, the aim of this teaching particularly is to help you do a personal assessment, personal fitness assessment. You know, when I was praying for this message, I realized that for some years now, I've been squatting every morning because I don't have all the time to go to gym. I hope I would soon, maybe when I married. Amen. All right. I've not been going to gym. So, the last time I gymed was in university, in my penultimate year and finals. That was the last time I went to gym. That was 2012. You can imagine. So, in the morning, so I just tried to squat and do push-up. I could do like 35 push-up or 40, then I'll just do like 20 squats. But I was not feeling the squat. So, I now went to YouTube and I realized, when I was preparing for this message, there's something they call fitness assessment. And they use several exercises to know whether you are fit or not. So, for example, they use squat test, and there's a way to do it. But what makes it different? And I now understand why I wasn't feeling all the squatting I've been doing is timing. So they will say, so they have a chart. I think I gave the media, I'm not sure. They have a chart. So on that chart, they have men, women, or male, female. So they have age range segregation. They have partition. So they will say, okay, like for me now, they will say I checked my own, 29 to 35 years of age. All right. There's a way they rate you. If you do less than 20, you need to see the doctor in 1 minute. And the way you do the squat is specific. Your arms must be stretched this way. Your hand legs must be firm on the ground. And you must go like this. Like this. Your two hands like this. Like this. So from 35 to 45 is good. Then from 45 upward is excellent. So I've been doing it for the past 4 days now. A boy, I've been feeling it. Somebody is asking, so Pastor, where is it? Anyway, I did 42. Amen. I'm good, but I hope to be excellent. Amen. This morning, I wanted to break the inertia, but you know what? 1 minute, 60 seconds. So I was about to do the 43rd one like this. Ah, the alarm just sound pam pam pam. 1 minute because I set the timing. Praise God forevermore. The same thing in the military. In the military, they would strip you naked. They want to see. Hope you don't have pile. The best way for them to even check your temperature is to put this thing into your anus. They want to check. They want to make sure you are fit. So there is so you could look naturally okay from the outward, but something fundamental can be wrong. Let me give an instance. On the 25th of August of this year, World Health Organization published out from Geneva that there are 1.28 billion people on the surface of the earth that is having hypertension. Now, 700 million people upon the face of the earth are living without treating it. But they appear good. Don't forget we said high blood pressure is one of the vitals. Come on now. There are four major vitals. They check your pulse rate, that means your heartbeat. They check your respiratory rate. They check your blood pressure. And then they check your temperature, your body temperature. So in medicine, they know that somebody can look okay, but something fundamental is wrong inside. The same thing appears to the things of the spirit. Someone can appear good. You can be feeling okay, living your life. But you just never know something is wrong. And one of the most theological examples we can use to explain this, to drive the point home, is the subject of the fall of man. That it is possible for someone, all right, to be dead and yet be walking, taking in carbon, and to be taking in oxygen and bringing out carbon dioxide, feeling okay, even having children. And then it didn't appear he was dead. And it took 930 years for him to finally physically die. Because God said, in the day you eat of it, you surely die. Adam did not die when he turned 930. He died the moment he ate of the fruit God says not to eat. So in the story of the fall of man, we can see that it is possible that somebody could be dead inside. Guess what? It is possible to realize that somebody could make a terrible mistake that we take, that can be transgenerational, and we take 4,000 years to redeem, and yet he will never know. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The sin of Adam took 4,000 years. All the story you read from Exodus, children of Israel going into captivity, you know, all those stories you are reading, they're having different judges, several people coming to roar at them until Goliath, you know, Goliath of Gath. All those stories were just the journey of grieving the seed of a woman that was prophesied in Genesis 3:15. And it took 4,000 years to fix a singular mistake that one person made. So much more that even the earth is so disturbed. The stones, they all came down. The Bible says that inanimate objects, they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They are waiting to be delivered into the liberty of the sons of God. So all these trees, plants, they were not created to die. And do you understand something? You see, and it will amaze you how grievous what Adam did was. But for 930 years, he was still going about. So this is the point. It is possible for you to think you are spiritually solid until you put yourself on a fitness assessment, until you do a heat check, before you realize that, oh, so I'm not this good. I need to couple up. I need to come up. So that's what this teaching series is all about. It's about personal assessment on spiritual fitness. Praise God forevermore. I said, praise God forevermore. So that means there's a particular way to function. Listen, there's a way your car should function, but it doesn't mean it will automatically function that way. Come on, talk to me. So what do? You take it to the automobilist. You go to an automobile shop. You talk to the name you call the mechanic to fix it for you. So there is a normal design for the man in Christ. There's a normal design. Listen, when we say you are a spirit, it's not a joke. Hallelujah forevermore. And when you study the word of God, you will notice that the Bible leaves no room for carnal responses. And I will explain. Why? Because the Bible assumes that you are normal. Let me give you an instance. I'm a writer. Amen. I'm not even now, I'm a writer. Glory to God. I proofread. Praise God. By the grace of God, as of today, February 2022, devotional is ready. Working. Amen. So I'm telling you. So I write. And I'm an author. So I have some books that are yet to be published. And I can tell you, the way Bible was written, to the carnal mind, is not the right way. If I were to be the one to write the Bible, I won't write it that way. Let me give you an instance. In Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God, wrong way to begin a book. Naturally, the first thing to do is to first do like a whole chapter or three chapters to prove the existence of God. Are you listening to me? But the writer just said in the beginning, God. Why? Because the writer assumes that it is abnormal for you to question the existence of God. So he believes you are normal. So the question of whether or not God exists is abnormal. Angels know, stones know, animals know, everybody knows. At least by assumption. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. So you can look normal outside, but there's something fundamental very wrong on the inside. So the same thing applies to your spirituality. You might feel like, well, I go to church, I give my tithe. Hey, there is more to Christianity than that. I pray in the morning, plus Jesus might not sit down. No. So somebody's asking, so pastor, how do I know? And that's what I want to show you. I want to show you four vital signs that will show you that you are not spiritually fit. For instance, like the fitness I told you, If I have squatted for less than 30, I know something was wrong. They have endurance check. They have several check in the military to know whether you are physically fit. Number one way, all right, vital signs. Number one, spiritually now, is error. Somebody say error.
Error.
Say it again.
Error.
Say it louder.
Error.
When a Christian is wallowing and consistently living in error, see, the Christian is not a perfect person. But the Christian, a believer, will not consistently remain in error. One thing that must characterize a believer's life is if he finds himself in a wrong path, by supernatural, he will find himself out. There are Christians who can tell lies without feeling any remorse. At the spot, you catch them and at the spot, they will tell you, no, and they will say it neatly and they will not feel anything. It looks normal, but something fundamentally is wrong. Because the nature you have does not have anything to do with lying. Scripture says, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. There are Christians who leave home and they go to resume in a sugar daddy's house and they feel okay. Something is terribly happening on the inside that they don't know. There is a damage that has happened. You mean you have the Holy Spirit in you, and for 1 year you are dating a courtist and you never knew? Something is wrong. Something fundamental is wrong. What happened to your discernment? Praise God. And we have an assurance here in Galatians 5 verse 16. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. That means the antidote for fulfilling or walking in the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. Praise God forevermore. I say praise God forevermore. This is very important. See, there is something about the Spirit of God in your life. See, the Holy Ghost in you is not a joke. His impact filters even into your mundane activity. Have you ever observed, how many of you have experienced this, like, you're done praying, and you just woke up with a sense of direction, right? Sometimes you are done praying, you just finished praying, and the next thing you want to do is to arrange your room. How many of you have experienced that? You just feel unhappy about the way you are done praying, and then the next thing is, you just carry your mop and just started mopping the house. You that will naturally feel lazy. I don't even know what I'm saying. If you've not been feeling that way, maybe it's part of the vital signs. Amen. That's why it's not possible for somebody to be a prayerful Christian and is dirty, wearing one boxers for 5 days. It's not possible. Are you listening to me? There is something about the Spirit of God that will over a chaotic mass that will be moving upon a shapeless heart. There is something about the Spirit of God that as it moves upon it, it will be so unhappy about it until it will speak and say, light be, and there will be visibility. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is something about the Spirit of God that brings order. I was talking to a lady, very beautiful, wonderful lady girl, all right, she's into this sugar daddy thing. All right. She called me. She said, I just woke up this morning. I just knew this thing I'm doing, I can't continue. And she was going to go into debt if she was to withdraw, because this guy literally pays her, I'm talking of 7 figures. And she has a lot of debt. And she summoned court. She said, no, I'm not doing this anymore. She cried all day, praying in tongues. That's a Christian. It's not possible. So when you see a Christian, or if you notice you are getting normalized with error, it's a vital sign that something is wrong with your spiritual fitness. When you can lie easily. When you can go days. There are Christians who can go days without studying the Bible or reading the Bible. There are Christians who don't listen to tapes. There are Christians, something is wrong. It's an error. Number two is this. Listen, let me tell you, first, number two. Listen. Don't forget, we live in a fallen world. If you don't have a devotional life, if you walk in error consistently, listen, you will pick bad habits. Some of the habits you see people portray on social media, especially in the Western world, that you castigate, you'll be amazed at yourself. You'll be amazed. See, there are husbands today who wonder, where did they pick this habit of beating their wife? It was never part of them before. Let me tell you something. Listen, look up. In this world that we belong to, you are either growing or dying. There is nothing like I've been on the same spot for many years. It's not true. Everything is moving. So the question is, are you moving forward or backward? Number two is, when your hunger for God dies out. See, look. I don't know. When I was in the university, like you, have you ever woken up one day, you are just kicking everything in the house, in your room? You're praying in tongues and you're just kicking everything. You're just kicking. How many of you? I mean, you're just kicking your books, kicking everything. Like, you're just, there's this hunger and you just want to go to the mountain and pray. Or just want to go for a prayer meeting and stay there. Even if you don't feel like praying, you just want to sit down there. How many of you know what I'm saying? If you get to a point in your life where you no longer thirst after God, you no longer hunger for the things of God, something fundamentally is wrong. I'm showing you vital signs. So that you can do a personal assessment check. In the book of Matthew 16, we saw something very powerful there. Matthew 16, the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show, verse 21, Matthew 16, 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Bible says 23, and he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. When your desires are consistently going crosswise God's word, something fundamental is wrong. When they say evangelism, you don't feel interested. When they say church, you don't feel interested. When they say anything concerning God, you just become, you develop cold feet for the things of God. Something is fundamentally wrong. These are vital signs. You wake up in the morning and of a sudden, I've heard Christians say things like, I don't know, for the past 3 days now, I've just been sad. I don't know, I'm just not sad. I'm just not happy. And anybody that crossed my way, have you seen Christians talk that way? They get moody, nothing is wrong, oh, there's money in their account, oh. There's food in the house, oh. There's just, hey, it's a sign. Can't you see? Open your eyes, open your mind. Can't you see? It's a vital sign. Something is fundamentally wrong on the inside. I don't know if you realize that the day in the morning you go out, you go to some of you that are students, ever wondered why the day you don't pray, you don't take time to pray in tongues in the morning? When you get to school, you just get moody, right? Little things get you offended. Oh yeah, now. If it has happened to you, let me say so. This is church. Can you see? This is what I'm saying. Listen, look. You see, husband just shout out the wife anyhow. Guy, why? Where you get this habit from? I don't know. Just ask him, when last did you pray? Say, now true, don't tell. That's it. You live in a fallen world. Listen. This is a fallen world. That's why we are awaiting New Jerusalem. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're not on fire, you will pick up habits. You will pick up habits unbeknown to you without your permission. In Psalm 63, look at an Old Testament prophet, David. The psalmist, he says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. These are just metaphors. You know, in a dry land when there is no water, all right, there is tendency to be thirsty, to look for water. He uses that metaphoric expression to talk about how thirsty he is for God. He is for God daily. Daily. He says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in the name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. If you are a 20 kid, you understand this verse 5. All these 20 kids that they eat turkey and chicken, all these 6 weeks old chicken that you eat, you won't understand this verse 6. This verse 5. When he says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. You understand? When we were younger, you know all these village chicken, strong ones. Alright? After you, when you crack, you will see marrow. All these ones, no more marrow now. It's all these ones, 6 weeks now. You are eating chemical. You know what I'm saying? There are fatness. There are some end like that, that when they kill it for you, and then you are 20 kids, sorry, eh? Indomie generation, sorry, eh? All right. Okay. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, think about what a devotional life. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Praise God forevermore. So once you start noticing that the things of God don't interest you anymore, when the things of God, your passion for the things of God just dies all out, is a vital sign. Something is wrong. You need a retreat. Lock yourself up. Have a retreat. Go on fasting. Pray. Press small. Press in. Are you hearing me? I'm going to talk about this in second service, about certain disposition that will show you something is wrong. When it starts, I don't want to start giving you a taste of that. People in second, make sure you get the tape. You know, when you start noticing doubt, fear, just become normal. Something is not wrong. Something is not normal. That's not your normal. Do you understand? Do you know that only Adam and Eve can tell us, because they are the only ones who experienced impossibility of death. Now, you know it's normal for us to see people just grow old and die now. We've seen it as normal. But it's not normal. Oh. Number 3. When spiritual devotion becomes difficult. See, during prayer and worshiping, I can tell if somebody spiritually fit. Somebody say, Pastor, you get a moment. And yes, so I can do a quick heat check on anybody. If you give somebody mic to lead prayer, you can tell that, come. This guy, even from the sound of the tongue, you know this guy. You have not prayed for the past 2 months. You know all those vowels? Crack, crack, you know, come. These tongues, you have not touched the inner house for long. You've not seen. I'm serious. Did you remember in the book of Acts, when they were going to appoint deacons? Notice some of the criteria that were used to search for deacons. It says, men that fear God, able men, all right, what again? They said, filled with the Spirit. Now, they were going to do a physical check, and they are going to check if they were filled with the Spirit. How do they know they are filled with the Spirit? Because it's evident. It's not an abstract feature. Can I give you expo? One of the ways you know somebody who is, one of them is shame. Don't let me give you all these things as pastor. There are people, shame, lead prayer. Something has been, it's been long that person actually had a pressing. Praise God forevermore. Do you know in our generations there are Christians who can go months without reading their Bible? I don't want to just, I know if I do, if I ask now, but don't raise your hand. How many of you actually, throughout this week, you actually read your Bible, you read your Bible? Can I be honest with you? What you think, forget about who is hyping you. Forget about who is calling you man of God, woman of God. Forget about your title. Drop that thing, my friend. The basic things that you think you've outgrown are the one putting you in trouble. Do you remember those days when we were in school? When they used to tell us, that's, you know the song now, I'm going to use the tone now. Read your Bible, pray every day. They told you, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. It sounds basic. But if I do a simple poll, if I do an assessment poll now, many people don't read their Bible anymore. Some people don't have a Bible reading plan. On their Android or iOS, they have water app, menstruation app, Linda Ekeji app. They have all form of funny apps. Mascara app, Massacre app or something. They have all the app. But no Bible reading app. It sounds funny, but it's a fundamental sign that something is wrong. That needs urgent attention. You know, as a pastor, some of the things that amazes me is when somebody comes to me and say, Pastor, I don't know why. I've not been praying so well for some time now. I've been dragging my prayer life. And I'm wondering, excuse me, why are you surprised? Pastor, I don't know. I've been prayerless for about 2 months now. I'm like, why are you surprised? When last did you pray? The way you get prayerful is by praying. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not. It's just like some brothers, some spirit cocoa brothers too, who try to deny human nature. I don't know. I went to visit her. I didn't know that this thing will happen. Wait, are you okay? Do you mean to mock God who gave you the third leg? I went to do retreat to pray. You went to pray in a lady's house and you passed the night there. And you are now, and you are surprised. I'm surprised you are surprised that something happened. Are you wood? Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm surprised when Christians say things like, I don't know why I'm prayerless. Prayerless. You pray, no me. Or do you think those of us that pray well, we receive a gift of praying? Flash news, or news break, or news flash. Whichever one. What's that? Somebody's correcting me. Now you serve you. 1 Corinthians 12 gave us all the list of the gift of the Spirit. Guess what? Gift of prayer was not there. So you have to build a culture, and that's why, you belong to a local assembly that cares. Do you know how much dollars we are going to be paying to MixLR? Just to make sure that you can clock in. And this is not something that I'm delegating to just anybody. I am the one leading you in prayer. 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the night. If you notice all the testimonies, something very common among all the testimonies were testimonies from the morning prayer, right? Morning prayer, 6 to 6:30, then 9 to 9:30 in the night. We have a link. Let them share with you. Click on the link once it is time. 6 a.m., put up an alarm. Listen to me. Listen, if you can pray 1 hour every day, there are things that of their own accord will align. I'm going to talk about faith in second service. You know, some things that you have seen as normal. Do you know in the spirit realm, all right, there's no difference between malaria and HIV. Sure, you know. You see, the reason why you are trying to think it is because, you see, it's a fallen world. The things that surprises you are not really surprised. Okay, let me give you. Oh, I'm already talking about what I will teach in second service. Do you know that at the end of age, in heaven, there will be no need for word of knowledge. Now, somebody gave testimony, I give a word of knowledge about relocation during prayer in the morning, and she got it. Listen, in heaven, nobody will need word of knowledge. Do you know why? Everybody will know all things. Are you listening to me? So what we are calling word of knowledge that you are wowing now, that wow, prophesy, papa, and I give you forensic prophecy, is not something that nobody will wow anybody in heaven. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. And that's where you belong. That's your realm. So just because you are in this, so you have to know how to interpolate this thing so that you can live in that realm here on earth. John Austin's mom was diagnosed of cancer that she was going to die in 3 days. She went to lock herself up with the word. Someone say the word. Dodie Austin. She even now lived more than her husband, John Austin. Three days, turned to 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 13 years, 20 years. I'll talk about that in second service. Time is fast spent. And can I be honest with you? Habits are actually interconnected. If you have a prayer culture, you are consistent with your prayer life, you are more likely going to be a good Bible reader. Let me give you, even on the flip side, on the negative, Hosea 4:11 make us know that most womanizers are also drunkards, because wine and warmongering are brothers and sisters. So most habits are actually interconnected. For instance, if you listen to tapes more often, you are more likely going to pray. Except the preacher is not a preacher like me. I'm not even know what I'm saying. They have a testimony here. Have you been listening to a tape and I'm still something, and then you punctuate it with tongue? Kabaya. He kabaya. It's like that. It's not possible. You are more likely going to be, all right, someone who prays if you read your Bible. You are more likely going to be somebody, all right, who heals the sick. So these things are interconnected. You see, do you know what I envision, what the Lord showed me? I envision a church where somebody is entering the church with a crutch, and as the usher are welcoming the person, they are taking the crutches from the person stresslessly. Do you understand? I'm talking about fire brand church. Everybody is a fire. Do you know what I'm saying? This is New Testament test ministry. This is not Old Testament where it's only Moses that can prophesy. Somebody is sick, they come to church just by sitting next to you. Your shadow falls on them, they are healed without you even knowing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I will share the fourth sign, and I will show you three things you should do in second service. I want to encourage you, make sure you get the tape for those of you that came for first service. And listen, if you are not doing anything at home, why not wait? Praise God forevermore. I say praise God forevermore. Did you learn anything? I hope I've been able to let you. Now, some of you are already doing your personal assessment. Right? Yes, so we're going to pray. We're going to give time to prayer now. I want to encourage you, get the tape of last month. We did extensive 8-part teaching on prayer. You can't listen to that tape and your life won't change. Your prayer life won't change. It's not possible. And when you are done listening to that, get Inferno. Part 1-3. Are you a man? Change. Do you know what I'm saying? Your life will turn around. See, let me tell you. Look. The moment you walked into that door, through that door, into this church, just get ready. I'm ready to turn you to a prayer whiz. Yes. Not only are you going to be a whiz kid, because God is going to make you whiz kids here. Yeah. Amen. All right, that means you're going to have a lot of money. But listen, there's a musician calling. That's not the one I'm saying. It's not that. You know, I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? All right, I'm going to make you a prayer whiz. You are in the bedroom, you are praying. Kill about this. Even the drop tablet is dropping from the right place. You know what I mean now? I don't want to give you a picture. Ah, masakitelebaha. Tobokubakalabaha. You know what I'm saying? You're in the kitchen, you are mixing those condiments with your food. You are radical sila practicing. Ladies, do you know that your devotion can get you into kitchen and you make good food for your husband? You know the right application of Maggi. See, your life is supernatural. Mateke brakito soprehedebehes. You are dressing. Do you know you can want to wear a cloth as you are praying? Many of you don't know the mystery of tongues. I think I'll do a teaching on the mystery of tongues one of these days. You want to pray, you want to dress, you are like Krado Shilamana. I don't want to wear this. Killifran Homes to suffer. And you just wear a particular dress. And you dress that way, go out, and somebody walks up to you and say, guess what? In my dream last night, God told me that the first person I saw wearing blue, I should give this person $1,000. And then you take, and you're like, what if I've won? Listen, do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, Saul was just busy. I can't give you precedence in scripture. Saul was going about looking for his father's missing ass. What happened? That was the day he met his kingship. He was going to look for his father's ass. And he met a prophet that began telling him, well, come. The Bible says God has spoken to the ear of Samuel the day before that a guy will be going to look for his father's ass. What if he has not followed that route? One day, the last place one of our pastors worked before he left there for the university, we were going for evangelism. We were supposed to follow a particular route. I says, come. The Spirit of God wants us to follow this route. We were going for evangelism. That route we followed was the day he met a director in the school that made him to get the job with the school before he left. What if you follow another route? Listen, your life is supernatural. Amen forevermore. Are you ready to stir up something now? I want you to put some fire. Glory to God. You're going to put some fire inside. Are you hearing me? You're going to put up some fire. Have you seen soldiers when they do this campfire? If you have been to NYC, you know, at the last day of the 3 weeks on camp, there's something we call campfire, right? All right, so campfire, this bonfire in the bush, all right? The aim is not just to give them eat, but to scare terrible animals in the bush. Do you understand? Some of you, you've not been to a village. I don't blame you. You were born in Abuja, everything in Abuja, nothing. That's why your chiefs are Ajebo. But if you go to the village, all right, people in the village will tell you in the midnight, all right, there are some people that they sleep in the farm to work the next day in the bush. So what they do is they set up fire because that fire will help them scare away animals. If you, the Bible says the fire must not go out. I showed you last week, Leviticus 6. Once there is consistent fire, it will burn. Listen, you are made for divine use. Sickness can't stay. Are you hearing me? Doubt can't stay. I'll show you in second service. There are some doubts and unbelief. How can you wake up one morning and then you are just thinking about death? It's part of the vital signs. You're always having a feeling of depression. I was praying for one girl one time. She told me that every time she's on the road, something keeps telling her to enter the main road. Enter the main road. Maybe a jalopy is coming. Something will tell her. Enter the... And there's... Thank you, Father. There's someone here. You usually feel that way. That thing... That devil loses his grip over you right now. Every time something will just... You know, you could actually even be, oh, I see. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Get on the keyboard for me. You could actually be in the kitchen, all right? Maybe you are cutting some things and something will want to inspire you to cut yourself. That devil is a bastard. An hand has come to that oppression. An hand has come to that affliction today. Rise on your feet, somebody. I want you to rise up with aggressiveness.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.